Acts 4:12. There is no other name given whereby we must be saved. There is none other name given. Now think about that. I want you, of all the names that are named upon the lips of man, both to worship, to idolize, and to adore, I want you to think of all the names that you hear, and the one that is so rare that you very seldom hear this name mentioned. And that is the great and the magnanimous name of Yahweh, the name that we promote. Now, most Christian organizations promote Jesus and Jehovah. Both of those names start with a J, and if the truth is known, and we want you to know the truth, there was no J's in the Hebrew, none in the Greek, and matter of fact, there's still none in the Hebrew, none in the Greek, but the English language in 1702, they did a masterful job of bringing in a substitute for the Y of the Hebrew and the I for the Greek, and brought in the J, which is a substitute. In other words, they cursored the I and made a J out of it. They just twisted a hook on it, and in doing so, they hooked the whole world in a false name. Therefore, the mask of this pagan god that we're going to talk about tonight is really going to get under your skin. But we didn't come to amuse you, confuse you, or to conspire, or to vilify. We didn't come to throw off. We just come to preach the gospel. And the Bible said that the gospel is a hard saying, and who can hear it? Now, if you turn your ears from hearing the truth, that there is no other name. Now, this brings the burden of responsibility directly, squarely upon you. Now, Hosea 4:6, it says that you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And, of course, you wouldn't want to be destroyed. And I know nobody wants to be destroyed. But the problem is that there's a name that seems right. Now, I want you to really concentrate tonight on what I'm telling you. Now, I want you to know that we can prove all of the things that we're going to say tonight can be proven in the Bible by rightly dividing, not adding to it, and not taking away from it, like the translators. Why would they take out the original Hebrew name and put in a Greek, Latin, English name? And the answer is, of course, it's obvious. And people say, oh, well, when you finally convince them that the name that starts with a J, the cursor J, that it's not right, they still want to defend it by saying, well, it doesn't really matter what name you call upon. Well, according to Acts 4:12, there's none other name. And if you don't get that name right, you could perhaps be in danger of hellfire by taking the name of the Creator in vain. The Bible says, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, and they will call me Lord, and I'll say in that day, depart from me, I don't know you. So you got to get beyond Lord. Oh, the Lord love you, honey. Glory to God. Lord this and Lord that. Their mouth is full of Lord. And you should take the names of the lords and the Baals out of your mouth. You say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with the Lord. It's been magnified and glorified and adored and worshipped so long that they don't really see any harm in using Lord instead of the true name. Well, let me see. From the early manuscripts of the New Testament, the name Jesus was not chosen as the name of the Messiah. Now, is that startling? I'm going to repeat that. From the early manuscripts, the original, the name Jesus was not chosen as the name of the Messiah. Savior, or the one that we call Christ, which means anointed, simply means anointed. Now, this is backed up by the 6,823 scriptures proving the discrepancies in the Greek New Testament writings, and never once in the books before the Messiah came was there a Jesus. Therefore, the mask of a pagan god. And if you use this pagan god name, knowing better, it would have been better for you not to know the name than to know it and not use it, or be ashamed of it, or withdraw from it, just because it's more popular to use the name Jesus. Now, I want to repeat this. You say, oh boy, I'm going to get up here. This is a Jesus basher. Ladies and gentlemen, I preached Jesus for really longer than most people realize. A 30-year, well, actually, I'd back up and say 48 years. 48 years I used exclusively the name Jesus in my messages. 30 years in my messages and the other a few years in my belief system. I was raised a Baptist boy, saved at 9 years old, added to the church ledgers, had my letter. Never could get it back. They couldn't find it when I asked for it. When I brought the truth that I'm bringing you tonight, I got evicted. I got disfellowshipped. I was cast out for his namesake. They shall see that you're called by my name. They shall hate you, and they shall be afraid of you. Man, I mean, they said, don't let him get in the pulpit. When he gets in the pulpit, he will have the people so confused, he'll tear the church up. Now, how are you going to use the word, which I promised I would do, and confuse or tear the church up when I am bringing the facts that in the early manuscripts of the New Testament, their name Jesus was not the chosen name of the Messiah or the Christ? Now, when I get up there and tell the congregation that, in the churches that I was permitted to teach in, which wasn't for long, and then I found myself like the Messiah. I was outside the church on the highways and the byways and compelling them, and I still am. I still don't have a church. It's amazing how effective you can be in the streets in an underground belief system and tear the denominational traditional churches down, or confuse them, or bring them to naught with the truth. So therefore, these churches do not appreciate the truth. They are so long in their tradition. Well, I don't care what you say about my Jesus, glory to God. I'm just going to believe the Bible, honey. And I know what the Bible says. It says Jesus. And he said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Matthew 1:23. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, there was no Jesus even in the original 1611 that didn't call him Jesus. When did we start calling him Jesus? When the revised King James Bible was given to us around 1702, they revised it, I think it was 1746, and the first edition came out. They started working on this in 1702. And they brought in the name Jesus with a J, but it's pronounced G rather than J. Joshua in the English uses a J, but Jesus is the exclusive, showing you it's a counterfeit and a hybrid. You can't get saved in the hybrid name. I don't care how long you call on it. You may have a good heart. There's no demand for your goodness before the Father, because there ain't none, and you ain't got none. You're none good. None. the subject of a pagan mask on a pagan god that they paganly call upon. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But in English, it's Jesus. There's no difference in Jesus and Jesus. We got the Jesus is crossing the border from the southern end of our nation. We got them crossing in droves named Jesus in English. Oh yeah, they're just coming across the border in Spanish. It's Jesus. Well, the Catholic Church, they really know what they're doing. Now, I'm not trying to deliberately make you mad if you're a Catholic tonight, because I believe you're honest in what you believe, and I'm not trying to offend you if you're a Baptist or if you're minded. You know, look at these churches now; they're smart. They know that some of these denomination belief system is so crooked and ill advised in their doctrine that they say, "Oh, we're non-denominational. We don't believe in denominations. We're non-denominational." I say, "Oh, do you believe in the Trinity?" "Yeah." "Well, you're not non-denominational." It's the Catholic Church that brought the Trinity. What they try to do, they try to confuse your mind in the great mystery. Now, here is the mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16. "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." What's so great of a mystery about that? And yet it's a mystery to you, because to you it's new. To me it's not. I've known this for over 50 years. 50 years I've known that there's not three persons in the Godhead. You say, "Oh, yes there is. There's a Father and there's a Son and the Holy Ghost." When you look into the Godhead, you'll never read the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's not in there. You think it's in there, so you're quoted it's in there. You've been told it's in there, and you listen to the preachers that says there's three that bear record in heaven. It's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, and peace to your ass one. I've heard so many of our Baptist brothers preach that and just sweat and sling snot and cry and beller like a dying calf in a hailstorm. But ladies and gentlemen, it don't change the word by them bellering and saying they got the Spirit of God and they're sucking for wind and preaching their lungs out and squalling and hollering. I used to think that's the way you inform people. I don't care how much you squall and holler. If you ain't got something to squall and holler about, you need to soften your voice down and be able to teach and to prove all things. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. Three. You say, "Well, I didn't think there's a Trinity." Well, it's not. If I told you that there was three substances in an egg, that wouldn't make three eggs. I'm talking about the composition of the Godhead. God is a spirit. Okay? Now, God became flesh. Does that make two gods because one spirit and one flesh? No. Because the spirit, God, dwelled in the flesh body, and the flesh man said, "My Father is in me." And they said, "Where is he? I don't see him." See, they were looking for two visible persons in a carnal mind. It's ridiculous to the carnality and the teaching, and this is the embedded conditioning of the whole church to get you, even if you're a denominational and you came out of the whole church in a denominational Protestant revolt, you're still victim of their teaching of the Trinity. Oh yeah, three. There's three. There's a Father up there, and there's a Son up there, and there's the Holy Ghost up there. You can't read that. It's not in the Bible. You say, "Oh, but bless God it is." Now, the Father loved the Son. When it says the Father loved the Son, what is it really saying? The Father was a spirit, and the Son was the flesh. why wouldn't the spirit love that flesh body? Huh. Why it says in the book of Hebrews, therefore, a body thou hast prepared me. This is the flesh body talking back to the Godhead, the Father, the Spirit, the eternal Spirit. Now you can't see a spirit. Everybody says, I've seen Jesus standing by the Father, glory to God. Well, Jesus is the Father. According to the New Testament, in John 14 and verses 6 and 7, it says that the Father, when they wanted to really ask who the Father was, the Son told them. Well, I said, have you been so long with me, Philip, and you've not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You see, the carnal mind can't accept that. It wants a carnal relationship of a physical Father, I mean, with two hands and two feet and 10 fingers and hair on his head and two eyes. Then they want the Son in his likeness as 10 fingers and 2 feet and two eyes and hair on his head. And that ain't how it works. That's what you've conceived it to be through the carnal concepts of the way it is in the physical. But that ain't... The Bible said, you're carnal. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. If you look up the name Jesus, all concordances and dictionaries list it to be a Greek version of Joshua, pronounced originally as Yahushua. Then refers you to the reader to Jehu or Yehu of 3442 in the Strong's. Hebrew sometimes is transliterated into English in different ways. The Holman's Dictionary lists Joshua as Jeshu or Jehu, as in being translated into Jesus, which accounts for having the name Jesus. For Joshua in Hebrews 4 and 8 and Acts 7:45, the KJV, the King James Version, translated to understand why all the names relate to Joshua. And it's important now to look at how scroll writings, practices, were influenced around the time of the Messiah. Many copies of the New Testament abbreviate sacred words. Abbreviations of these words were formed by writing the first and the last letters and placing a line over them, using our English to illustrate God. It would appear as GD, and Lord would appear as LD. The attempt to differentiate and dignify the sacred name of God goes back to pre-Messianic times, first done by the Jews in the 8th century as they put the vowel points up there to create something that wasn't there to begin with. And thus, the writers, the translators said, well, that must be Jehovah in the Old Testament because it's Yahuwah in the New. And they tried to hide this. They didn't want you to pronounce His name. That's the whole crutch of the understanding of why that they struggle to forbid you to speak in the name of Yahweh, to speak His name openly and publicly. To them it was blasphemy to use this name publicly on the lips of human clay. But the Bible said, all of the earth shall know me. Now, notice this. From the Dead Sea Scrolls, we know that the Hebrew scribes often distinguished the name Yahweh as known, as I've said, as a tetragrammaton, and it's recognized in every place where Lord or God has been substituted by the scribes who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. They would write the Tetragrammaton in all Paleo-Hebrew script. But the modern scribes of the 8th century, they would just put Lord and God and LD and GD and write a line over it or 100 to distinguish it was a deity. Now, what's that going to tell you? Well, it brought confusion. Because the people said, well, I know that his name's Jesus because that's what my New Testament said. But if you go, you say, well, where'd you get that out of? Well, I brought out of my King James Bible. Glory to God. And so you say, well, what translation have you got? Well, it's the King James Bible. Well, when was it printed? Well, you don't say when it's printed. They never read the preface, and when they open the Bible, they'll tell you right there when it was printed in its original print. And most of these are 1746, when the King James was revised, and they spelled the name of I-E-S-U-S in the King James original Bible. It was I-E-S-U-S. And it's pronounced as Jesus or E-A-Z-U-S. Well, that was never a Hebrew name. They completely Greeked it right there, ladies and gentlemen. And let me show you the deception. I just wish I had a large board for you to see tonight. My listening audience, you're just going to have to visualize what I'm saying here as I illustrate how that the name Yahweh was turned into Jesus. But it was done such a way that Zeus got all the glory, and therefore the mask of the pagan god is a result of our message tonight to tell you that when you're calling on Jesus, you're calling on a pagan god. You say, well, I love to sing name. You know, singing and shouting and praising, that's no big deal. They were doing that around the golden calf. When Yahweh sent his word down there with his name embedded twice in the Ten Commandments that Moses had in his hand, he threw them up in the air and broke them and ground them to dust and threw them in the river. And then he'd done the same thing with the golden calves. You see, they calf, that was a symbol that they would worship a false pagan god and cast Yahweh to the ground. The Bible said they shall cast the truth to the ground. They didn't keep them from shouting. They wouldn't use a name. They certainly wouldn't use Yahweh's name. The Sanhedrin Council, it was the highest Jewish council in the first century. It had authority over the Jews and was made up of Pharisees and Sadducees, two of the major religious sects. The word Sanhedrin is usually brought into the English translation as a council, and is presided over by the high priest. At times, the word chief priest referred to the action of the Sanhedrin. Through the name of the council itself is not used, keep in mind that this same council who accused the Messiah, our Savior, of blasphemy, and this accusation stemmed from a Sanhedrin law, which reads, the blasphemer who incurs guilt if he utters the secret name of God. When this sentence is pronounced, the judge arose and rent his garments and never again sewn up the torn parts in order for them to accuse the Messiah. He had to proclaim to be Yahweh, their God, and to speak the name of their rendition or misuse of blasphemy. In this case, in Mark 14:63, the high priest rent his clothing according to the law, and Stephen was stoned to mention for the name of Yahweh, mention it. He mentioned in his dying testimony. They stoned him, and they persecuted and whipped and beat Peter and John, and demanded that they preach not anymore in that name. The fear of the great number of followers of such a short time after Pentecost persuaded the religious leaders to refrain from sentencing them. In other words, they couldn't fill up the cells. And the noted miracles performed time that the gate of the temple was so influential in this decision that they feared the people if they whipped and beat them anymore for preaching and teaching in the magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh. They'd never heard about the name of Jesus. That's a pagan name that came out later on. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how much you sing to it. I don't know how much you pray. I don't know how many times you get baptized into it, just like I was. You got to repent and come out of her. Come out of her, my people, and receive not of her plagues, which shall be laid in one day. You see, just because people now are not judged, they can go right along and praise Jesus every Sunday. Time goes right on. They die and they go be buried in Jesus' name. Time goes right on. But there's coming a day. There is coming a day that all the world will become guilty before Yahweh when he comes on the clouds of great glory with all of his angels with him. Then shall he sit the judgment seat, and every tongue shall confess, and every knee shall bow to one name and to one name only. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what is that name? Well, it's a name,
according to the Bible,
it's a name above every name. And 6,823 times along in the Hebrew language, it was Yahweh. Now, in John 5:43, the Son said, I come in my Father's name. Well, if the Father's name was Yahweh, and the Son came in the name of Yahweh, what would the Son's name be called? Oh, you say Jesus. How could it go from a Hebrew name applied 6,823 times, positive proof? Anybody wants to argue against the Bible, you just go ahead and argue. Anybody wants to not deny it and stay in the... Say, we're not back there under that old law, glory to God. I don't even go back there. My preacher told me that was all under the law. We wouldn't under that no more. Ladies and gentlemen, what kind of understanding is that? What kind of a teacher would tell you that? Because it says these things that happened to them happened as an example, and these examples are to be quoted from. The Messiah quoted daily from the Old Testament, because when he came, there was not no New Testament there. What do you think he was trying to do away with it, because he quoted it and shut the book up and said, now this will no longer apply. When he said, do this as an example. Love me and keep all my commandments. What is the commandment of thou shalt not take Yahweh's name in vain? Now it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Right there, see that deception? It's actually, ladies and gentlemen, it is a commonplace for the people to be indoctrinated with a bad translation Bible, and you've got to grow up and get beyond that. If you don't, you'll never be saved. I don't care how saved you think you are. I don't care when you die in confidence and lay yourself in the grave. When you meet Yahweh, you're going to have to bow the knee and confess his name, and his name alone. Never was Jesus and never will be. And so the pagan mask of this pagan God created by a pagan church that claims to be Christian, just because they call themselves Lord and God, ain't that what the Bible said? They shall call me Lord and God and deceive many? Why call me Lord, Lord, he said, and do not the things I say to do? Well, the things he said for you to do was remember Yahweh's name, not Lord, because there's many lords according to the Scriptures. There's many gods according to the Scriptures. Which one could you honestly answer this question in a live debate? What if I came to your church and reasoned with your denominational preacher? Oh, you know, he'd have on his nice suit, and he would look so distinguished and so eloquent. And he'd quiver his voice and say, glory to God. I've been preaching for 42 years. Glory to God. And Jesus has never let me down, honey. Glory to God. And you would gold ring and his watch and his silver hair and his nice suit. You say, well, my God, look at Jesus, it really blessed him. But look at that old raw prophet up there in a pair of blue jeans, a pair of maybe overalls. Look at that old beard, that old scrawgy beard he's got. Listen to him, he's so arrogant. Ladies and gentlemen, arrogancy, truth is always arrogant. You know why? Because it'll crush you. It will defeat you. It will roll over you. It will cause you to repent if you've got a heart. But if you're going on looks, if you want to go back with the deceivers, the true believers are not afraid to use the name of Yahweh. When they speak of the Messiah, the rest of Israel appeared to use the acrostic Yasha in keeping with the law, but not referring to the man claiming to be Yahweh. And therefore, they helped to blot out his name as the scribes were required by law change the name in secular and sacred writings so that no account in history remained, and this would imply that the man, Yahweh, was Yahweh the Messiah. I come in my Father's name, you hate me. I come in my Father's name and you beat me. I come in my Father's name and you curse me. I come in my Father's name and you won't receive me. But if another comes in the name of Jesus or the pagan mask of Zeus, and they would doctor this name up and Greek. Now, let me show you the cross-reference here, and this is the point before I close tonight that I must get in here, because I'm hurrying along. Let me spell for you the name of YHWH, the four sacred letters of the Hebrew, 6,823 times. Wherever you see Lord in capital letters, that's a replacement for the YHWH. Now, when you see that, and you understand that translation has moved the original tetragrammaton. It's the embedded. Now, to show you in earth where this name is embedded, it is a facsimile of the name Yahweh in square script Hebrew. Yahweh knew that his name would be written in square script as Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. And so in a little country place upon the mountain where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob slept and ate and worshipped and built an altar, there embedded in natural configuration in the earth, as Yahweh used the earth, it's just like when it was molten and hot. He just took his finger as a signature gesture and placed it down there and wrote his name in Paleo Hebrew or square script Hebrew. And there it is, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh in Hebrew. The same thing that you see in the square script of your Old Testament written 3,000 years ago or longer. Jeremiah 23 verses 25 and 27 said they will forget my name. They will not use my name. You priests, you lying preachers, you cover up my name. You won't let them use my name. You won't let them glorify me. You act like it's too holy. And all along, you want them to forget me. And you want them to forget me for something that is a four-letter word. L-O-R-D and B-A-A-L. Baal is a reference to Lord. So they inserted Lord, which is an insult to the name of Yahweh. He said, do I know any other lords? Huh? Is there any gods beside me? No. So, you see, your Yahweh is not a Lord, and neither is he a God. He's neither of those. He is a spirit being with his name written at Bethel in square script Hebrew in the natural configuration of the earth, proving his name. And you will find no other name written in the earth like that. There's not a another known instance anywhere where any other name, including Jesus, the most popular name in the Greek English Bible, and when they run on the name Yahweh in Greek, and they had a Greek rendition, ladies and gentlemen, the original Greek had intact the Tetragrammaton written in Hebrew, Sparse Script Hebrew. It was right there in the Septuagint, 165 years written before the time of the Messiah. He knew that it was Greek. He knew how that they knew how to use his name. And it was right there. You get your original Septuagint and the facsimile and the original copy of the Septuagint, you'll see the Tetragrammaton intact in the Bible that possibly the Messiah picked up and read out of in certain places. And although we know that he spoke the Aramaic Hebrew. And so then, ladies and gentlemen, the name Jesus is not even 500 years old. J-E-S-U-S. You got to get an older God to save you than that. Although your fathers and forefathers have been shouting and dancing in it, and it's been around long enough that you think it's right, and the Bible said there's a way that is that is presumed right, but the end thereof is death from such eternal way. How would you write, you say, Pastor Buddy, how would you write the name of Yahweh in Greek? Well, let me show you. The I-U-E-N-U is Hebrew for Yahweh, YHWH. I-E-U-E. Now, wasn't it very easy for the translators to come in there in the original King James now? The original King James writes his name I-E. See, they got that first part right. The Y-E. They knew what they were doing. They got that part right. But notice how that they have to get Zeus in there. S-U-S. I-E-S-U-S. That's the way that your original 1611 Bible, before they changed it to the J-E-S-U-S, which people swear by, that's his name, glory to God, and I'm a sticking to it, and you can't turn me around. I'm bullheaded, I'm strong, I know what I've got, and they'll slap their breast. They'll pounce and parade, and they'll march over to the big church where it's filled up with these Jesus worshipers. You say, now you're hitting on the Jesus worshipers. I liked you till you done that, now I hate you. Well, that's what the Bible said you do. You're just doing like the Bible said you would. They shall hate you for my name. And when you declare that the name Jesus is a mask of a pagan god, inserted and put there deliberately to deceive the innocent and the naive and the unlearned. Man, I know people that use the name of Jesus is unlearned. They haven't studied. They haven't done their homework. And I know that right off. And my job, and it's almost an impossible task, for any of the people that know the truth to even teach their own families. Their own families will be a foe to them because they're so steeped in tradition. They will not relinquish that name because they walk up to the graveyard and there it is on their tombstones. They've already got it. They've got their tombstones up waiting for their bodies, and they lay down and say, here lies a man that loved Jesus. Glory to God. I-E-U-E is Hebrew. I-E-U-S is E-A-Zeus. Now take your pick. Jesus, the Roman Catholic Church, believed that Zeus was God. You know him now as a pagan, but back then they really, literally worshiped Zeus as the primary principal sky god, the great god. Constantine said, I'm not changing and giving up to know Yahweh that these little idiot Hebrew boys is running through the community and the providences and changing people with these miracles and things in that name of the pagan Hebrew God, Yahweh. You see, they blasphemed the name of Yahweh to keep their own tradition, and their tradition was the pagan god Zeus. rode off on Yahweh, just like the Jesus preachers will get up literally and denounce the name of Yahweh. I've heard them. There's coming a time when the truth is going to be exposed. When the judgment seat is set and the books are open, you're going to get in there and look at his name. He's probably going to give you a bird's eye view of his name over in Jerusalem. You need to take it. Just write, Pastor Buddy, if you want the evidence of the name of Yahweh written in the mountains in Bethel, up in Galilee, just write me and I'll send you a satellite photo of the Sanskrit Hebrew name of Yahweh written in the mountains. If that ain't good enough for you, then I'll give you a Hebrew rendition of 7,000 times approximately that his name is written right in the Sanskrit Hebrew, just like it's written in the mountains. To confirm, the Bible says he will send you signs and wonders, and he will cause his name to be known all over the earth. And yet, not many people use this wonderful name. Oh, they want to turn from it. They want to make exceptions because this is the way Mom and Dad brought us up. Now, honey, it was good enough for Mom and Dad. I have had thousands of people slap their breasts and say, honey, it was good enough for Mom and Dad and Grandpa and Grandma and their grandmas and, you know, and go on and on and on and on. And they never, you say, well, would you mind looking at this scripture? No, I ain't got time. I got to go. Let them run from the truth. Let them hate you for the name of Yahweh. When they hate you, when they cast your name out as evil, when they reject your word, don't worry, they rejected the man that brought the revelation of who he is. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. It's a name above all names. It's a name that is forever embedded in the memory of the Holy Ghost. There are three that bear record in heaven. What are they, Pastor Buddy? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was God the Spirit. The Father was God the Spirit. And the Word was God made flesh. Does that make three gods? Just like these three substances that make up an egg. It's one egg with three substances. Can't you see that? Natural comparison to the spiritual comparison when Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was seen of angels. The angels knew who he was. They come and ministered to him when he was in a flesh body, when he was suffering for 40 days without any food, and when the devil come to entice him and to encourage him to skip the death of the torture that he was going to put him through. He said, you can avoid all this if you just play ball. We'll let you be a big, noted preacher. We'll let the whole world follow after you. That's okay. Just go ahead and bow to me. And the Messiah came back as weak in the flesh as he was. And he said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. And finally, being tired of the temptation of the devil, he said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh and him only. When Peter, James, and John upon the mountain of transfiguration in 17 and 3 of the book of Matthew, when the cloud disappeared, and they saw no man but Yahweh only standing before them, and the Spirit had spoke out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, not of whom, not through whom, but in whom I am well pleased. The Father was in the body of flesh, the Son, reconciling the world unto himself. If you'd like to have this message tonight, you can have it by simply writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284 New Tazewell, in Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live around the world here on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. I'm sponsored tonight by my good friends down in the great state of Mississippi. I forgot to mention them last night. On Tuesday night, I'm sponsored by Mark and Audrey from Mississippi. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul. And we appreciate our sponsors. We love all of them. They make it possible for me to come on night after night. And by the hands of the merciful saints that put their tithes and offerings into an envelope and send them to me through the mail and make sure that Pastor Buddy's got food on his table and his bills paid and I can preach this gospel just like I preach it to you now, with boldness and with faith and with truth and with the evidence. And I wouldn't preach it any other way. If I wanted to preach and deceive people, I'd compromise and go back to the church that I came out of as a young Baptist boy. I was really popular. I could preach and I could sing and I could shout with the best of them. And I could have had a good, healthy, wealthy life by telling a lie. I just loved my Creator. I kept fasting, praying, and getting closer and closer to the truth. And the closer to the truth I got, the more that the present church world hated me. The denominational system rejected me. Because every time I got up, I had to preach the truth, and the preachers, the council, if you will, they conspire. We gotta get rid of him. We gotta turn him out. Let's get him out of here. Let's turn the church all to pieces. Glory to God. What are we gonna do with him? And they would conspire behind your back, and first thing you know, that you get a letter stating, well, you're not welcome here no more. You don't believe like we do, so you just stay away. Well, what do? When they reject you, you shake the dust of your feet, what do? You keep on keeping on. That's exactly what the Father said. They shall hate you. Matthew 22 and verse 10, they shall hate you for my name. And I preach you this Creator's name tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's a name above every name. At the name of Yahweh, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there's coming a day of judgment when you're going to have to stand before Him, and you're going to find that Yahweh's a strong tower. And you're going to have to bow the knee. Like I say, would you like for him to show you his name written in his blood? Written in the mountains of Bethel as a memory and a keepsake before you believe it? Did you know that he's coming back with a nail print in his hand? Do you know that he's going to have a cut in his side and every eye is going to see him? Do you know that he's going to gather up everybody and they're going to begin to say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Who are you? You don't know who I am. It's evident. I'm not a Lord. That's not my name. I'm not a God. That's a figment of your imagination because there's many of those. But do you see many around me? No. I'm here with my holy angels, every one of them, and I'm Yahweh. And unless you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, before that day, in that day, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear him say, depart, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Don't you know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word? And I know this has been a hard one for you. For you people that love Jesus, I sympathize with you. I've been there. I empathize with you. I've been there. But move up. Show the grit and the determination of your true character. Step up and say, Yahweh, Pastor Buddy's preached to you this name, and if this is the name that I'm to worship, please give me a sign. And Yahweh would say back to you, well, he'd say, oh, you want a sign? Oh, let me give you one. Just say hallelujah. And you jump up on your 2 feet and jump as high as you can, and you say, hallelujah. You just praise the greatest name and the highest name on the mountain, and that's Yahweh. He dwells at the top of the heap, ladies and gentlemen. All gods and all lords and all pagan masks of deception shall be ashes under his feet. And those who have been deceived by the wiles of the devil will be fertilizer to grow the bountiful fruit of the new kingdom. And in that day, you shall know that there's one Yahweh and his name one. Zechariah 14:9. You shall know in that day that there's one Yahweh and his name is one. He's not mixed up. He's not divided. He don't have a bunch of names. Get out of this confusion of Babylon and call on only one name and one name given. I love you tonight. Yahweh's richest blessings be upon you. Yahweh bless all of those that know him in a free pardon of sin, that have been baptized and repented. You've got to show that. You've got to put that name on. That's when you put it into your mind and into your forehead by the works of your obedience, by denouncing the other names that you've been in, like I did, to get in the name above every name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'll see ya Friday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel Sound WWRV 3.185 Clear Channel, brought to you by the faithful members of the house of the great name of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you, and I love you.